Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. Please take this opportunity to silence all cell phones as we prepare for worship. And since it is my first Father's Day, I feel as though I'm obligated to tell one bad dad joke. Only one, I promise. What did the buffalo say to the little boy buffalo when he left for school?
I don't know, Dad. What did the buffalo say?
Bye, son. Only one, I promise. Let us prepare our hearts and minds as we listen to the prelude and prepare for worship. Thank you for the prelude. We have a few announcements. Diving into Faith Vacation Bible School is Sunday, July 14th and the 21st. If you're interested, contact Joan McNamara. VeggieTale Helpers, if you're interested in that, you can contact Jennifer or Maggie Grooms if you can help. Also, Lawn Care, if you're interested in that, there's a sign-up sheet or contact either one of the elders or Pastor Cynthia. Any other announcements? Yes. Any more announcements? We'll take this opportunity to stand and greet each other as we prepare the opening hymn, number 59, This Is My Father's World. Please join me in the call to worship. We know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know God as Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer.
Source of light and life, gentle shepherd, sure foundation.
Holy healer, rock of ages, ancient one who is ever near.
Let us praise God, whose name is above all names,
whose very being is beyond our knowing. Let us pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, what an honor it is that we can call you our Father, not just Father, but Abba Father, essentially Daddy. You are the prime example of what a father should be. Though you may not always give us what we want, you always give us what we need. Please provide for our needs today and this coming week. Hear us as we pray the way you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. Our hymn of praise today is the first verse of Faith of Our Fathers on page 635. Invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Hi, Levi.
Hi.
Come have a seat.
Okay. Witness something.
Have you told your dad Happy Father's Day today?
Yeah,
I know the girls have too. You told Dad Happy Father's Day, and you gave him a big hug. Mm-hmm. Yes, dads are so lucky to get big hugs, especially on Father's Day. No, you know,
that's flowers.
There are flowers. Aren't they pretty? There are men in this church who might not be dads of their own kids, but in some ways, they're fathers for the rest of us. Because anyone who kind of guides children and helps them, they get to be a father too. So this morning, we have a thank you gift for a dad in the congregation who has his own kids to raise, and his girls are about grown up. But he's also in some ways a dad for the whole church. This man in our congregation helps with our sandwich ministry and our blanket ministry. And last week, we had a mission group up from Colorado, and the kids tied a blanket that is made out of fleece with baseballs on it. And Keith Rouse is a huge baseball fan, so we would like to present him with a blanket. Levi, can you help me? We're going to get this blanket up here.
Okay,
so you stand up.
Okay.
And girls, you can help too.
I help too.
So we're going to hold up the blanket so everyone can see it. It has baseballs all over it. Keith Ross, would you come forward? We are so thankful for the ministries of all of the men in our congregation. But Debbie Mestis, the current Mission Commission Chair, wants to give a special sign of gratitude to her partner in crime, as it were, her cohort, Keith. So we're going to invite you to hold this blanket, and the children are all going to say a prayer of blessing as we hold this blanket together. Would you repeat after me? Dear God, we ask you to bless this blanket that it might bring warmth and love and joy to your servant Keith. Dear God, please bless all the dads in the church and in the world. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Keith. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And our kids can go to children's programming with Mrs. Brown. You can follow Emily out of the sanctuary. As our children are headed out this morning, I draw your attention to our prayer concern list that you'll find on the back of the bulletin. Our card shower today is for Ed Struby. He suffered a mild stroke earlier in the week. He is now at Elkhorn doing rehab therapy, and he's doing very well. Paul had a good visit with him yesterday. Jean and Maria went to see him as well. And we are thankful for his progress and his recovery. Please continue to pray for Ed as he does rehabilitation and therapy work and rest to regain his strength. We offer prayers of sympathy to the family of Winnie Allen. Winnie passed away peacefully in her niece's home up in Buffalo. Her family was gathered with her, and they were reading scripture as she made her way to heaven. Winnie was the oldest living member of our congregation. She was 102 when she passed. Winnie has told me stories of the history of this church that lived in her memory like those of no other. She's not the only one who remembered when the congregation moved from a little house called the Tabernacle at Grant and Lind. There was a parade from there to this site at CY Avenue. But Winnie actually remembered an earlier parade. She was only a few years old when her dad propped her up on his shoulders, and they walked with the rest of First Christian Church's congregation from the Odd Fellows Hall downtown, where a congregation in formation had been meeting, to that property at Grant and Lind. What an incredible gift to have a member with such a long living legacy with our church. Prayers of sympathy also for Mike Ward and his family at the passing of his cousin, Spencer Boren. Please pray for Cal and Monica Decker. Monica is at Wyoming Medical Center. She is malnourished. She has been having difficulty swallowing, and along with the Parkinson's and the MS, it's a real struggle for her health. The plan is tomorrow to do a swallowing test to see if perhaps there's a growth in her throat, if there's a physical block that is making this difficult. If all goes well and that can be treated and she regains her strength, then she'll go to Elkhorn for a while. The last time she was at Elkhorn, she did very well, and so Cal is hopeful that will be in the future, but we do not know. So please pray for Monica and Cal that they both have peace at this time. The missionary we're lifting up this morning is Victor Makary, who serves in Israel and Palestine. And our regional prayer partners, if you'd like to sign the sheet at the back of the sanctuary, are the members of St. Francis of Assisi Christian Church. It's a unique congregation affiliated with the Disciples. It is held within the walls of Utah State Prison outside of Draper, Utah. It's a congregation affiliated with the Prison Congregations of America, a ministry that specifically provides Christian service to, for, and with inmates. It's pastored by Charles Hines. So we pray for all the members of St. Francis and the unique ministry that they share. One addition to our prayer list today, please continue to pray for Cheryl Dion, who is our nursery care provider, and her family. Her son Wyatt has been away from home since June 6th, and the family has yet to receive confirmation of his whereabouts. There have been some messages on Snapchat. They know that he's alive and hanging out with friends, but understandably, the family is very distressed that he hasn't contacted them or come home. Prayers for Wyatt Dion as he works through some issues and that he will get in touch with his family soon. We also pray for all fathers and all men who father. We pray for those who are missing their dads today, for those who are blessed to have earthly dads who reflect the love of our Heavenly Father. And we also pray for men who struggle to be the dads they wish they could be, but for whatever reason may have difficulties along the way. Are there others today that we need to add to our list or Joyce to share? Keith. Prayers for Madison as she prepares for her trip to Florida for this singing audition. Prayers that she won't be too stressed, that she'll be able to sing her best, and it will be a positive experience. Pat. We rejoice with Jean and Pat at the arrival of a new great-grandson. Time and weight known, name yet to be announced. Tony. Prayers for Cousin Earl, who has stage 4 bone cancer. Prayers for his comfort and for the doctors to have a good plan moving forward. Debbie. Prayers for a woman that Debbie met at Loaf and Jug who was in an accident and ended up being addicted to painkillers following that, and because of her drug addiction has lost her family. Prayers for this woman and for others like her that are in situations of great struggle. Tom.
Struggling with her. So Madison's doing really well now.
Prayers for Danielle May, a young woman in Tom's family who has had some self-destructive behavior. We're thankful that she is getting treatment and pray that the counseling will help her sort through. Yes, we are hopeful indeed, and we're thankful that Madison's doing better, and we pray for little Danielle. Anyone else today? Paul.
Continuing prayer for our search committee. As it's important for us to pray for them on a regular basis. Just try to be present with them and they evaluate where we are, what our needs are, what his plan is for this church, and how we can all participate in that future.
Absolutely. Prayers for all the members of our search committee. Prayers for the congregation as we move forward into the future. The members of the search committee are listed at the top of that back page of your bulletin under church leadership. Please pray for them by name on a regular basis. I had a text from our regional minister, Joanne Bell Haynes, also asking us to pray for an interim minister. Our goal is to find someone to lead the congregation for a short interim period to provide preaching and pastoral care so that the search committee can focus on the work of calling our next settled pastor, our next lead pastor. So prayers for an interim minister and for our search committee. Let us turn to the Lord. Paul? Have you been talking to my husband? We are very excited about the move, even while we are sad to be leaving so many dear friends here. We're thankful that relationships will continue across the miles. And yes, there are lots of boxes to be packed at the McBrides. If anyone's bored and doesn't know what to do with their summer, just let us know. Now let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Good and gracious God, thou art mighty and strong. You are also patient and wise. You're gentle and forgiving with wayward children. You discipline us and lead us home. O Heavenly Father, you are the perfect model of parenting with infinite love and patience. Desiring the best for your children. Loving Lord, on this day we give thanks for all fathers who love children in your own image, who are kind and patient and wise and strong, who discipline and guide, who care and provide, who teach and love. Lord, we pray for men who struggle to fulfill the role of father, dad, papa. We pray for those who long to provide, to be present, to balance multiple demands, to care for their family. Lord, we pray for men who feel they fall short of that goal, and for those who parent well, either alone or in partnership. On this day, God, we pray for the fatherless, those who are orphaned, who long to be adopted, those whose dads have passed. We pray for families broken apart and ask for the possibility of reconciliation and new ways to move forward. On this Father's Day, Lord, we pray for men, not only who may be biological dads, but who parent in other ways. We pray for coaches and teachers, mentors, supervisors, those who instruct and guide others. Lord, we ask for your wisdom and grace to be upon all fathers. And we pray for peace, for those for whom Father's Day may be hard this year. Loving God, we ask for your healing hand to be upon all whom we have named this morning and others who are in need. Be with Ed while he's at Elkhorn, Monica at the hospital. Be with John McNamara's cousin Earl as he wrestles with a diagnosis of bone cancer. God, we pray for wisdom for medical staff and researchers who fight cancer. We pray specifically for Earl that he would be cared for well, that he would be at peace, that he would not be in pain, and that he can work well with a team watching over his future. God, we pray for Madison as she prepares for an exciting journey this summer headed to Orlando, for an opportunity to share her voice and perhaps open a door in the future. We ask God that she might be calm and trust in you to travel safely and to sing her best. Lord, we pray for Danielle May as she seeks counseling and receives treatment. Lord, whatever is broken in this young woman's heart and soul, we pray for the miracle of healing to come, that she may know that she is loved and cherished, that she might be surrounded with supportive adults. Oh God, watch over Danielle. Keep her safe and bring her hope in life. We pray for a woman that Debbie met this week, who is struggling, feeling isolated from her family, facing hardship and addiction, needing physical healing, but also spiritual health as well. Lord, bless this woman and others whose lives are in hard places. We rejoice with Pat at the news of a great grandson's birth in New Mexico and pray your blessing upon this little one, upon his mom and dad and all of his family. Oh God, for churches in transition, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be active. In our midst here in this place, Lord, we pray for the future of First Christian Church in Casper, trusting that you will provide, that you will guide forth an interim with the skills needed to maintain energy in this place and help this congregation move forward faithfully. We pray for the next pastor that you are already preparing for this place. And God, we ask you to bless the search committee as they meet faithfully. Be with Steve and Annette, Maggie and Joan and Carmen, Linda and Robin, Keith, Spencer, and George. Continue, Lord, in their time together to help them know the presence of your Holy Spirit, stirring among them, blessing with wisdom, guiding with feedback from the congregation as they deliberate the characteristics most needed in a future leader for this church. Holy Lord, thank you for prayers lifted for myself and Charles as we prepare to move over these summer months. Give us patience. We pray, oh God, for Victor Macari, for missionaries around the world, and the work that Victor shares in Israel and Palestine. Bless Pastor Charles Hines and the members of St. Francis Assisi Christian Church in Utah. We give thanks for their unique ministry of forgiveness, repentance, and reconciliation. Bless the work that they share to be witnesses to Christ. Lord, bless with freedom those who are incarcerated, that they might be free from sin and fear and be made whole. And Lord, for those who live free and move in the world but are held captive by sin, we ask for forgiveness, for self-awareness and repentance, and the grace to place our lives in Christ's hands. All this we lift to you, Holy One, Even as we pray for Wyatt to be reunited with his family, and we ask for patience and courage for Cheryl and her husband. Bless, O God, those in need. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. The moment for mission today is going to be about how the Pentecost offering is used. It's to help our new church movement continue to take root. Each year, half of this offering stays in the local region or area where it's collected to start and uphold new churches. The other half is used across the United States and Canada by New Church Ministry to support the recruiting, assessing, training, and coaching of church leaders at events like the Leadership Academy. There are many stories available to us, the Disciples of Christ webpage, about new congregations. One of them tells about a mission gathering movement that residents in new churches in San Diego. Other stories include descriptions about new churches, communities in the Chicago area, a contemplative worship opportunity in San Diego, a Haitian church in Kansas City, Missouri, and a ministry based on conversation called Gathering Desire in Marin County, California. Many of these new church plants involve young people and or people who don't feel, for various reasons, they don't belong in conventional churches. Our church planters remain committed to answering God's call to serve their neighbors, spread the gospel, and make more disciples. Please continue to help our new church movement continue to take root, bear fruit, and grow more disciples every day. Thank you.
God, as the perfect Father, provides for all of his children. Everything we have comes from him. The clothes on our backs, the roof over our heads, even the food on our table. Sharing a meal as a family is an intimate time. God wants us to dine with him, not just as guests, but as family, as his children. And just as he has provided for us, we can offer something back. Please give what you can. We will partake in communion by intinction. If you are able, a tray will be passed if you prefer to stay seated. As you come forward, please place your tithes and offerings in the plates up the front. We will now partake, and the prayer cards as well. We will now partake in communion.
Our communion hymn is number 408, Come Share the Lord.
Thank you.
As we come to the table, we remember that night long ago when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took the bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to his friends and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
God, who gave us Jesus to teach us how a life given to you and others looks like, we thank you for that gift. We thank you for these symbols, the bread and cup, that remind us that he gave his own life to make your love known. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness of sin and freedom from death. Now, as we take this bread and cup, fill us again with your Holy Spirit, that it may do its job of teaching us all we need to know to follow your Son. Then send us into the world to tell others about these great gifts of life you have given. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, amen.
Thank you.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for all the blessings of life. Receive now the tithes and offerings as a sign of the gratitude in our hearts. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to dedicate this song to George McBride and Tommy Dobson, two fathers who did a wonderful job. So any issues that we may have had with the exchange students we raised are solely Cindy's and mine. I may not be every mother's dream of her little boy, and my face may not grace the mind of everyone in the world, but that's all right, as long as I can have one wish, I pray. When people look inside my life, I want to hear them say, he's got his father's eyes, his father's eyes, eyes that find the good in things when good is not around, eyes that find the source of help when help just can't be found. Eyes full of compassion, feeling every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes. On that day when we will pay for all the deeds we have done, good and bad, they'll all be had to see by everyone. And when you're called to stand and tell just what you saw in me, more than anything I know, I want your words to be, he had his father's eyes, his father's eyes, eyes that found the good in things when good was not around, eyes that found the source of help when help could not be found, eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, oh, just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away. When you lie down on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Thank you.
Thank you, Dominic, for reading for us from Deuteronomy 6. Our next scripture is from Romans 5. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, you'll find it in the New Testament section on page 155. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. We boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Charles, for that gift of music and a wonderful tribute to fathers. Would you pray with me? O holy God, our heavenly Father, our loving parent, one beyond all knowing and naming, bless us in this time of reflection, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, your God is one. This ancient prayer is known as the Shema, and it is recited by Jews today as it was in the time of Moses. The very first of the Ten Commandments reminds us of the supremacy of God. Thou shalt have no other gods. The Lord is one, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Holy. This teaching is so key that the Israelites were instructed to teach it to their children. Every father in a good Jewish home is expected to teach his sons and his daughters the Shema, the prayer, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." Not only that, in addition to inscribing it on the human heart, the words are literally written on the doorposts of Jewish homes. A tiny piece of paper is inscribed with this text in Hebrew, and it's rolled up and placed inside a special container, a mezuzah, hanging over the doorpost, so that when a family goes in or out, they're reminded that it is the Lord who watches over their coming and their going. The instruction to inscribe these words on your hearts, to write them on your doorposts and your gates, to write them on your foreheads, is also lived out when another piece of scripture, a tiny script, a little piece of paper with this verse, is written on it and rolled up and placed inside a small box that is then tied around the forehead of Jewish men when they pray and when they bow down. You may have seen pictures of men at the Wailing Wall rocking back and forth. It's a prayer that reminds them from the center of the forehead to the heart to the soul that God is one. God is the Supreme One. God, our Heavenly Father, is all of this and so much more. On Father's Day, of course, it's appropriate to speak of God as our Heavenly Father. There's an interesting juxtaposition of calendars today, a convergence of secular and sacred rhythms in time, because this Sunday is not only Father's Day, it's also this year 1 week after Pentecost, which is when, in some faith traditions, Holy Trinity Sunday is observed. On Pentecost, we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, and 1 week later, many Christians talk about the Holy Trinity. In traditional language, it's the reminder that we worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even though the word Trinity itself is not found anywhere in Scripture, those different ways of identifying the Holy One are found in numerous places. In more contemporary language, sometimes we refer to God as Creator, Comforter, Sustainer. God is known in many and varied ways. And one of the ways we know the Divine One that Jesus called Heavenly Father, Abba, Papa, is through the modeling of earthly fathers. In the lives of godly men, we glimpse a reflection of God's own presence. In fact, to me, the text today in the lectionary from Romans 5 sounds a little bit like something a dad might say to his kids, passing on a pearl of wisdom. Try this on for size. Well, my son, I'm sorry you're having a hard time, but you know, even when you're suffering, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Can you hear a dad say that? Kind of works, doesn't it? Sort of sounds like a script from an episode of Father Knows Best. A few of you are of a generation, you may have even heard that program on the radio in the 1940s before it made it to television in the 1950s and then in reruns till who knows when. Father Knows Best. The character in that TV program kind of set the bar for TV dads that would follow. Those men who work hard providing for their families and then come home to solve one crisis or problem after another, wisely, patiently guiding their children forward in life. Well, our Father, our Heavenly Father, truly does know best. God knows what is best for us always. And there are times when the circumstances of our lives get off track a little bit. And then we have to rely on God's wisdom to get us back on the right path. What kind of advice did your dad give to you when you were growing up? Is there some saying that comes to mind? Maybe it's a bad dad joke. Sorry, Phil. I liked the bye, son. That was cute. Maybe it's an instruction for life. Well, my boy, I'd rather you be a thief than a liar, because honesty was of the utmost importance to that father. He wanted integrity. He could tolerate a child who made a mistake as long as they would own up to it and not be so ashamed they tried to hide it and lie. What did your dad teach you? My dad taught me how to mow the lawn, how to drive a car. And like Charles's father, my dad taught me how to make perfect pancakes. You know, after you put the batter out on the hot griddle, you have to be patient. You don't want the fire too hot. You're going to turn them into charcoal. You get the fire just right. And then you wait for the little bubbles to form around the edge. Think about it. A father teaching a child to make pancakes takes a lot of patience. Because inevitably, the kid is going to be so eager for that pancake, they're going to stick the spatula under it and flip it before it's ready. And then the batter gets all gooey and runny and makes a mess. So you have to watch and wait for the little bubbles to form. Patient fathers, know that there are times you just have to wait and watch. If you can, you turn down the heat of life a little bit so your kids don't get scorched, but you wait and you watch. And when the bubbles start to form at the edges of maybe a relationship, when your little one is starting to fall in love, it's the wisdom of a dad who, either through words or through modeling in his own relationships, that teaches that son or the daughter how to treat with respect a potential life partner. Waiting for the bubbles to form can be hard. Surely few things in life require as much patience as parenting, especially during the teenage years. Yet somehow you survive because you have endurance that, yes, comes from suffering, but it produces character, and character produces hope. So if you're a parent or a grandparent right in the midst of a crisis right now and you're ready to strangle somebody's neck, namely that of your offspring, hold fast to the hope. Your time will come. They will grow. The bubbles will form. And they will turn from being a little child, a babe in your arms, to a young adult overnight out in the world. A wise woman in a church once told me that parenting is so hard because there's no instruction manual. You can take classes and you can learn from your own parents and you can read scripture and pray, but there's really no specific set of instructions that's going to get you through it all. She said the best thing you can do is love your kids. She said it's kind of like you just reach in your chest and take your heart out and let it walk around in the world for 18 years or so. And then you find out if you did it right or not. Thank you to those of you who are parents, moms and dads alike, grandparents and aunts and uncles. Thank you to those of you who father others in myriad ways. Paul writes these words of advice that we might boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. Not only that, we also boast in our sufferings. Sometimes that Paul just seems a little bit crazy, doesn't he? Who on earth wants to suffer? And yet it happens. When your kids get sick, when they have a problem that's so big that you can't solve it for them, or specifically because you could, but you know it's their problem to fix. That moment of suffering is actually a sign of the presence of God with you. Think about it. The Almighty One, Creator, Christ, and Comforter, Sustainer, Redeemer, Maker of the universe, the One who is beyond our knowing and our naming, God Eternal, chooses to dwell with us in our finite human flesh, our limited earthly lives. God comes right alongside. And through Jesus, we know that God knows what suffering is. Paul promises us that suffering produces endurance. In other words, on your faith journey, stick with it. It might be hard. You might want to give up. There might even be a day or a time you're not sure you believe in God anymore, but stick with it. Endure. Because the suffering that produces endurance will also produce character, and when it's rooted in God, it will bring you hope. Hope of eternal life and the grace and salvation of God. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So remember this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord our God, the Almighty, is one with us through Emmanuel, through Jesus Christ. Inscribe that statement of faith on your heart and on your life. Whether you write it physically on your doorpost or not, or tie it on your forehead, remember that God is with you, even in the hardest days, when it feels like life is falling apart and we'll never be whole again, hold on to the hope that is yours through Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. God, our Father, is able to see the future. God knows what lies ahead when we cannot. Faith itself is an act of commitment. Trusting in God means believing in the future when we cannot see it. Our closing hymn today is number 535, Faith While Trees Are Still in Blossom. The text was written by a Swedish priest, Anders Frostenson. The last verse says, faith believes that God is faithful. God will be what God will be. Faith accepts the call, responding, I am willing, Lord, send me. God is calling our congregation into a new future that right now we can't see what it will look like. But we know that God is in charge. God will provide. And because of that, the future will be bright. If anyone is looking for a church home, you are welcome to join First Christian in this place. If you've never given your heart to Christ or you want to rededicate your life to God, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4, Faith While Trees Are Still in Blossom. There's a time of refreshment waiting for us downstairs in Fellowship Hall. Thanks to all of those who are helping host coffee hour during the summer. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, Christ, our brother and Savior, Holy Spirit, indwelling breath and mighty roaring wind, fill your people this day, that we might go forth, even in a world of suffering, to live lives with endurance, character, and overflowing hope. Bless now your people, that we may love and serve you always. Amen.